Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to have you here for this May 15th, 2021 radio program. And we're going to be looking at liking and disliking, something that a lot of people have a great deal of difficulty with. Of course, the human mind is going to do what the human mind's going to do. And don't let anybody tell you that it can be controlled, because it can't. The mind is going to present all sorts of things to us. It's whether or not we're going to pay attention to that mind, whether or not we're going to focus on that mind, whether or not we're going to have interaction with that mind. Liking and disliking, liking my thoughts, not liking my thoughts, liking people, not liking people, it's all the same. And most people just don't have the discipline to understand liking and disliking. And not that I'm going to be able to get you to do this, but I am going to present it to you. So if you're listening, you will at least have an insight. You will have been told or taught, introduced, whatever you want to say, to this method I'm going to give to you. Let's look at liking. It's, again, we look at this from the dictionary point of view, a feeling of regard or fondness. Disliking, the opposite. To dislike means to not have a fondness or a regard for a person or a thing. Distaste. So this thing goes around and around and around, this emotional stuff. And that's the problem with emotions. They can introduce and infect your mind with obsession and compulsion of liking and disliking. And a lot of people look at liking and disliking and have come to this, you know, pedestrian mentality conclusion that, well, it's a natural function. Of course you like things and dislike things, blah, blah, blah. I hear it all the time. And when I suggest to my students or to someone in session work that the major premise of their whole life is based on this liking and disliking thing, and that it's hidden deep into their unconscious minds, they just shake their head and say, oh no, I can control that. And they can't. Nobody can. It's what the mind presents, because it is linked to the emotionality of us. And you got to understand, this is just the basic premise. Our emotions present to us obsession, compulsion. And if my emotions feel threatened about, let's say, somebody doing something or something happening that doesn't pleasure or feel, quote, end quote, right to my emotionality, I'm going to disregard it. I'm going to dislike it. I'm going to have difficulty with it all. I am. And I feel liking and disliking all the time. I feel it deep inside me. I feel it in my emotions that somebody says something or does something that's unkind or whatever. I recoil. I have that liking and disliking. Everybody does. But you don't allow that to govern your life, and you don't have to act on it. And that's the key. So here we go with some really wonderful questions that were given to me about a month ago. And I want to thank everyone. If you ever have a question you want to ask, all you got to do is email me at greg@aspire.org. And I will consider it, especially if it's something that is a subject that is edgy or is real, something that is truly real that we all have to face in the course of our lifetime. First question comes from Linda. She does not tell me where she lives. I thought she did, but she didn't. I have my likes and my dislikes. Is this wrong? And then she goes into a slew of things about, you know, she wouldn't want to have dinner by a sewage plant. And she said, I would dislike that very much, blah, blah, blah. She goes into the obvious of things. Linda, there will always be things in this world that we like and we dislike. There will always be. The object is not to like or dislike them, but to see them for where they fit into our life and how we arrived at such things in our lifetime, how we got there. What is it about me that made this possible? Now, that is more important than liking and disliking. What is the origins of my situation where I look at it and I think, oh, I like that. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, that's not right. Oh, that's wrong. That's good. That's bad. Where is that? And what am I really doing to myself? We have a saying. There is one in India that I like very much, and they use it quite often. It's called neti neti. Neither this, neither that. It's neither likable or dislikable. It simply is neti neti. So when you apply neti neti to your life and your lifetime, what are you and I really doing? Well, we're learning how to allow our minds not to accept every impulse that comes from our emotionality. This, I cannot stress this enough to you. I cannot stress how important this is to all of us, this neti neti. To be able to understand how something can come to us and we have the chance to make some kind of judgment about it, something that is going to stick to us for the rest of our life. So we have this neti neti thing that we can do. Now, if I look at something, I go, I just dislike that. I'm not going to go sit by a sewage plant and have a sumptuous dinner, okay? I don't like that. I can't do that. There is nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Nothing at all. But there's something wrong when you see someone doing something that you don't like, maybe I don't like, and I have to look at it and not think of it as this person is acting out of the best they have or they're mentally ill. Do you realize how mentally ill we all are? In this culture, in this society that really has no culture, and that's part of why we are ill, we see it all the time with shooters. They have emotional, mental problems. We have a lot of it, basically because of what we see on TV, what we initiate in family, the clicking, tripping of emotionality that spirals into our DNA and tells us that we have to kill people to survive or whatever. This is all a part of why you and I need to neti-neti things. If I'm going to get to the truth of anything about myself, neti-neti, it's neither this and it's neither that. If I'm not projecting onto my thoughts a liking and a disliking, a good and a bad, a right and a wrong, if I can just observe in third person, watching neti neti with no prejudice at all, no bias, if I can just observe without bias, I will come to a place where I can see things as they are. Now, that's really important for you to see things as they are. Not the way you want to see them, but as they are. So, Linda, you've got to see things for as they are. It isn't about liking and disliking. You have your likes and dislikes. Is that wrong? It's impulsive. I'm not going to say it's wrong, and I'm not going to say it's right. What is it really? It's impulsive. It is a protective barrier you have between yourself and everything else in this world. So I have to ask myself, am I going to allow this to be the structure of my entire life? Am I going to allow myself to look at things and cast my doubts or my acceptance? Or am I going to look at it from the prejudice point of view of the Greg Penn mentality? And if I do, what am I doing? Well, I'm setting up difficulties all the way down the line, all the way throughout my life. I'm going to have difficulties here, there, and everywhere. It isn't going to be just with the stuff that I'm liking and disliking here. It's going to go down into bias and prejudice. And I strengthen that bias. I strengthen that prejudice. And then it becomes a lifestyle. Then I don't have any means to deal with whatever I'm confronted with, because I only want what I want, and I only think about what I want, and I just go with that constantly. That's how it happens. Now I am not an open person. Now I am just prejudicial. I am looking for the things that I want to see, that I want to understand, that I want to like, and I want everything my flavor, as it were. And if I do that, then I can't accept the higher laws and insights, truths that are prevalent, because I've already made a judgment as to what the priorities of my life are going to be and what the biases will be able to show me. I'll be biased about everything. The greatest truths that we have, that people have given us, even the ones that Gandhi gave us, you know, they're very important. You have to be the change in the world you want to see. We don't like that. Now that bias that I had about disliking this, that, or the other has come to fruition with looking at, you know, great truths. Oh, that doesn't fit what I think, or that doesn't make sense to me, or that I don't believe in that because it would require a different kind of level of thinking. Non-thinking, really. So, Linda, is it bad? No. But it's not helpful to your cause if your cause is to awaken. It just isn't helpful. And you need to see that. And if you can see that, good for you. And if you can't, well, it is what it is. Good for you is even a joke. I snuck that in, but anyway, thank you for your beautiful question. Forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Larry. I love this one. I had to include this one. I just had to. My wife hates you. She thinks that you don't like people. Is that true, Larry? And this is, then he goes into, you know, how he thinks or she thinks I like certain kinds of people, not other kinds, and that she isn't that kind of person I'd like, and so now she hates me. Have I ever met her? No. I don't even know how people come to this, but they do. Funny. Oh, do I like people? I got to go back to the original question here. Do I like people? On a case-by-case basis, I do a lot of work with people and for people. I help feed homeless people from time to time without anybody really knowing. I work at hospice for sure, and that is not an easy thing. I have my students. I have human beings that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, both in run-in fashion and in direct fashion. And you know, do I like what they do all the time? It's a judgment. And Greg judges deep in the back of his brain, in his unconscious mind. He's looking and going, you didn't need to do that. You shouldn't say that. When I hear that voice, I hear my mother. So then I just back off right away. I don't care, and here's the deal, Larry. I do love people more than you would ever imagine, but that's not the point. I don't give a darn about what Greg thinks. And Greg thinks a lot of things. And he goes here, there, and everywhere. And I just watch him. He's banging around in there, bouncing off like a ping pong ball off the sides of the roof and the wall and the floor. I never know what he's up to. And when I do catch him and I hear some of the poopage that he likes to utter to my ears, I actually laugh. I've separated from him to such a degree right now that no matter what he thinks, it doesn't matter. He has no input into my life. So, you know, when I'm looking at people and I see what they do, I realize they know not what they do. And I may think to myself from the Greg, that was unkind or unnecessary. But then I realize that it was unkind. There's nothing wrong with that. But it did need to happen according to that person. And that is the great difficulty. That's the great issue. And once you understand that issue, once you understand that that's what people do, then it becomes a non-biased situation. You just look at it and you go, well, this is the best that person could do. I've had many people do that to me. So have you. But I don't take it as a bias. I don't build it into my mind like people who do this are all bad. This is just what they do. This is the best they can do. This is all they can do. This is the way they are. And everybody is morphing into something at our age. If you're above 40, you're going to be morphing into your mother and father, and you're going to be going into things you didn't even know you had. You wouldn't even know it's there. And so what you want to do is be neutral about everything. Yeah, that wasn't the coolest thing that I've ever seen. That was the nicest thing I've ever seen. That was really kind. That was really cruel. You can see it. There's nothing wrong with that. I see it all the time. But when I build it into my bias and I start thinking in terms of, well, I only want to be around the people that are like this and not the people that are like that, that's when it slips into a real difficulty. That's when it starts to slip into something ugly. And people do this all the time. I used to do it when I was younger all the time. Now it's totally different. I can see my biases. I can see the Greg Penn prejudices. And instead of hiding them, rationalizing them, sanitizing them with some sort of moralistic belief, I just let them sit there, 1980. It's neither this, it's neither that. It's spilt milk. It doesn't matter. What matters is, can I help? If I can't help anyone or a person who's having these difficulties, I move on. If I can help, I certainly will. So that's all it is. It's really that simple. I'm keeping it really simple. And if your wife doesn't like me, even though she's never met me, and you say she hates me, that's pretty extreme. That tells you that there's a problem with someone who hasn't met another person and only imagines who they are in their mind and hates them. There is a problem, and you're living with it. Larry, you're living with it, and I'm sure this runs very deep in all sorts of ways. So there's your issue, not me. Anyway, yes, you know, I love people. I don't like them. I love them. And I don't always agree with what they do because a lot of it's unnecessary or it's hurtful or whatever. I don't let myself be bothered by that. I really don't. I just stand by. And if I can help, I certainly will. And I always love the part of helping people. And I have for 50 years. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to serve people. So there you are. Thank you, Larry. And tell your wife to please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Desmond, and he does not tell me where he lives either. He asked me a very interesting question. Can we like ourselves? I don't really think it's a matter of liking. If you like, then you're dependent upon emotionality. Liking and disliking are about emotionality. So if you're going to do anything that's truly significant, you have to love. You have to be loved. There is no way to take love and like myself or like what I am or what I've done or whatever. Love is tolerant. It is compassionate. It is kind. The real question is, can you be kind to yourself? Can you be loving towards the part of you that is biological, ignorant, mean-spirited, angry? Can you just be kind to that part of you? It is kind not to fuel the fire of hate and fear. It is kind not to allow your mind to run off on a preset of bias. You have to understand the things that would be most kind would be those things that would discipline us, discipline our thinking. And a lot of times people can't do that. So they just run amok. So the question really is a powerful one, I think. Can we like ourselves? Probably not, because our liking requires bias. And the bias we put towards others is not the one we generally will put towards ourselves. What we can do is forgive ourselves, love ourselves, and realize that that part of you that is Desmond is not the totality of you. It is the persona of you. It is the ego part of you. And you have to understand that. It is not you, though. You are something other than all of that. And until you realize that you are not the Desmond, as I am not the Gregory, then you can love Desmond. I can love Gregory based on the fact that they are separate entities from the authentic that is truly me, the real me. And that me isn't a person, an individuality. That authentic me is love, pure love, all throughout. It is the totality of love that lives within that you are all about. You are not the things you can think. You are not the things you can believe in. You are not the ideals and thoughts that run through your mind. You are none of those things. And until you understand that, until you realize that, your practice or your meditation or your life will just be a series of tremendous disappointments. And you're going to have these disappointments most all of your life because that's the way you live. That's the what you believe in. That's what it's all about for you. You don't have to do this. I keep telling my students this. You don't have to. You can do other things with your life. And it doesn't have to be push, pull, and grind all the time to try to get what you want. This is so important to understand, this separation, this third person, this ability to see things for the way they are and not as they are. And that, my friend, Desmond, that would help you understand so many things. And then you could live the nati-nati. It would be so easy. It's neither this, it's neither that. Look deeply. What's at the cause? What's at the root? What's really happening? I'm out of here. Thank you, Desmond, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I will be back on the air tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste.